All right, folks, I hate to tell you this, but it's past my bedtime, but this is the time of the night where if I'm still up, I get my second wind. So back on the record, we are in the public input section of the hearing in PU-15-690, which is the wind farm case. I know there were a few people that had raised their hands. The young fellow from the newspaper, I think, is here. Why don't you come up now? I know you waited a long time.
Back and forth.
Okay, and if you would, state your name for the record.
Dustin, D-U-S-T-I-N, Monkey, M-O-N-K-E.
I just have to get my notes straightened up. Dustin, raise your right hand. You promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
Yes.
Okay. And just tell us where you live.
1960 Prairie Avenue, Dickinson.
Do you have property in the area of the wind farm?
I do not, but I own property in what would be the Brady 2 phase.
Okay.
And I'm also speaking on behalf of my family, which I will go into here as a proxy, as they can't be here because of the late hour. And
do you support or oppose?
Support.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
First and foremost, I wish for my comments to be made public record as a representative speaking on behalf of the Leon and Kitty Monkey family and our multiple family trusts. These comments in no way, shape, or form represent the opinion of the Dickinson Press or its parent company, Forum Communications, my employer. Commissioner Fedorchuk, Commissioner Kulk, and Commissioner Chrisman, thank you for the opportunity to speak here today regarding the Brady Wind Project. My name is Dustin Monkey. I'm a resident of Dickinson and a Henninger County landowner, and I'm here representing my family, my parents, Leon and Kitty, my brothers, Scott and Jason, and my grandmother, Irene, as they obviously cannot be here to speak on their own behalf. Our family wishes to show its support for the NextEra Energy Resources Brady Wind Project Phase 1 in Stark County, as we believe it will directly affect the proposed Brady Wind Phase 2 in Henninger County, and also because both projects stand to have a great impact on the New England Public School District, in which we are both landowners and stakeholders. After lengthy consideration as a family, we agreed to support the Brady Wind Project and allow our land to become a part of Phase 2, should that project come to fruition following the potential approval of Phase 1 in Stark County. Please note that it is with great care that we came to this decision as a family. It was not taken lightly and was done under consultation of attorneys as well as colleagues throughout North Dakota and Montana whose lives and hometowns have been affected directly by wind turbines. The Monkeys have been landowners and farmers on the north side of Henninger County since the early 1900s. Much of the land we farm is and own is inside of the New England Public School District. The land where NextEra Energy Resources has proposed placing wind turbines for the Brady 2 project on our land has been in our family since World War II. Like any other good landowner, we would never make a decision that we believe is not in good stewardship of the land. Wind turbines would be placed on our property up to 2 miles away from the nearest farm, including our own, and would not be a hindrance to our family's farming operations or to that of our neighbors. This is part of the reason why we agree to this project. While we understand our experience differs in some ways in those of our neighbors in Stark County, we firmly believe in the rights of landowners above all else. And not just our own rights, but the rights of all area landowners who have agreed to be a part of the Brady Wind Project in both Stark and Henninger counties, many of whom have owned land here just as long or longer than our family. If there is one fundamental value that North Dakotans should understand and agree upon, it's that being a landowner allows you to have control over what happens on your land as long as that is within the law. This project meets those requirements. Not only have landowners agreed to NextEra's contracts, many of them have done so wholeheartedly with the next generations of their family in mind. Our family obviously stands to benefit financially from this wind project for the next 30 years, if it is approved. Its financial benefit is something we view as an investment for our family's youngest generation. We believe this is a common theme after conversations with our neighbors in both Stark and Henninger counties who have been approached about wind turbines. To be blunt, we live in an age where people are constantly trying to tell others what they can and can't do with their property and what they should and shouldn't think. This fight over the Brady Wind Project has been no different than that. While we understand that there are those who have opposed this project for good reasons, we believe this group of people, many of whom we must emphasize are not directly impacted by this project, have made it their mission to try and tell their neighbors what to do with their property. Some have even tried using the court system to intervene in your decision, thereby intervening in the rights and wishes of their neighboring landowners. Stark County's laws for wind turbines are clearly outlined, and in many ways are more restrictive than laws for oil and gas development. The Stark County Planning and Zoning Board and Stark County Commission voted to approve this project based on their laws, the facts, and landowner support. Finally, and most importantly, our family believes the Brady Wind Project, both phases, will be a great financial benefit to the New England Public School District. I, Dustin, am a graduate of this school, and my brother Scott is on the school board and has two daughters in elementary school there. While we don't view the Brady Wind Project as some great job creator, it is expected to generate $8.5 million for the New England Public School District through tax revenue from Stark County in its lifespan, and nearly double that if Brady Wind Phase 2 passes. New England is a small town that benefited only slightly from the Bakken oil boom. This project has the opportunity to be New England's boom, and it would do so through clean, environmentally friendly energy sources and without oil traffic clogging up the roads. This project is the largest and possibly only benefit the town of New England and its school district may see from the energy industry for a very long time, especially considering current commodity prices. In summation, we ask that you keep landowner rights and support for the Brady Wind Project at the top of your list when making your decision, as we encourage your support for this project and, hopefully, moving forward, support for Brady Wind Phase 2 in Hattinger County. Thank you for your time, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you
might have. Questions for Mr. Monkey. Mr. Biela?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Pelham?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Collins? No. Commissioners?
Just thank you, Dustin, for the energy that you bring at this time of night. And it's funny because I read your column in the Vin Dickinson Press a while back where you basically said, I'm not going to write about this because I have viewpoints on it, and I was just curious what they would be. So thank you for coming.
Absolutely.
And for disclosing that how it all lays out there.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
I don't have any questions either, but thanks for showing up and adding some fresh life to the room.
Thank you.
I'm feeling energized. Additional public input. State your name, please.
Gerald Binstock.
How do you spell Gerald?
G-E-R-A-L-D.
Gerald, raise your right hand. You promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Okay. Tell us where you live.
Address is 11541 51st Street Southwest, Dickinson.
That puts you pretty close to this project, I think.
A mile and a half away, yes.
Which direction?
To the north.
And do you oppose the project or support
it? Yes, I oppose.
All right, go ahead.
The reason I oppose is because it's very unreliable electricity. Had a neighbor that was on the local electric cooperative board, and they had done a study, and they found that these turbines would only be working 40% of the time, so I want my lights 100% of the time, not 40%. And it's just too inefficient. It's one example would be like if these turbines come online, they have to cut back on the power plants, and then when the wind dies, then they got to start the plants up again. And that's like hauling a load of grain with your truck. If once you get it rolling, you want to keep it rolling, not stop and start, because you lose your efficiency. And another thing, if I went into the appliance store, I told them I want to buy a refrigerator that's 40% efficient, they'd say, we don't have such a thing. The government wouldn't allow that. So this is very unreliable. That's why I'm opposed to it. And was watching the state basketball tournament here a couple weeks ago, and commercial came on that I thought was kind of interesting. It was about the price of things 55 years ago and the price of things now. And couple things caught my eye. One was price of coffee was 15 cents, and now it's $7.30. And another thing was electricity. It was 5 cents per kilowatt hour back then, and now it's 11 cents. So I think that's a very good bargain, and I'd like to keep it that way. If we get this wind farm, I know our rates are going to go way up, because every wind farm that has gone up, the rates have went through the roof. And I was wondering if you could tell me how many turbines there are on the west side of Highway 22.
Well, I think that you can just kind of pose that question. What's the point?
Well, I seen a map early on when this started going on, but I haven't looked at it for a long time. But out of all the turbines on the west side of the highway, I think there is only 10 turbines where the people live right in the area. The rest live in Dickinson or New England or out of state. And one neighbor, his brother, signed up his land, and he asked him why he did. He said, I don't live here. He said, I don't care what they do. So that's why, another reason why I don't think we should have it. And if this goes through, I know we're going to lose a neighbor. He would have been here today, but they paid him off so he wouldn't say anything. So,
to that comment.
Let's sustain.
Okay, and then, well, they're always trying to pay people off, so they...
I'm going to object to that statement as well.
He can kind of characterize it that way, but what you're saying is they get easements, they get agreements with people, contracts.
Give $20,000 to this place, $20,000 to that place. Like Mr. Roller said earlier, that they are the third biggest subsidized country in America. And that's not their money they're giving away. That's my taxpayer money. They're giving these checks out like it's Halloween candy. So that's all I have to say.
Okay. Questions for Mr. Binstad? Mr. Pelham?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Collins?
No.
Commissioners?
Thank you, Gerald, for your testimony. Can you help clarify me again? You said you live north of the project area.
Yes.
Give me the, you live in the east, north, but on the east side of the project area, the west side of the project area?
West side of Highway 22.
Okay, so when you talk about, more towards the extreme west edge of the project area, or?
Be 4.5 miles west of Highway 22.
Okay.
And 1.5 miles north.
Is there any particular turbines that you'd like or dislike more than others, or it's just the whole wind farm?
No, it's the wind farm as a whole, general.
Okay. All right, thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. I'm sorry. Chairman Fedorchak.
I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. The boss. Okay. Anybody else? And this guy's been waiting a long time. Okay. Let's state your name, please, for the record.
Chet Steyer.
So, Mrs. Steyer that testified before, is that a relative?
My wife.
Okay. So what's your address?
11076 52nd Street, Southwest.
And that's Dickinson?
Correct.
And you support the project?
I support.
I'll just have you raise your right hand. Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I should be at home calving, but if I lose a calf, who do I get to blame?
Me.
Nobody. Just the way it is, you know. I have to be here, so that's the way it goes. Many points were made today. I know the birds were one, and bats and all that good stuff, you know. And there's an article here, Friday, February 19th. Born addicted. Babies in the Bakken born addicted to heroin. It's right there in the article. Now, to me, that is a serious problem. I have three children of myself. I could not imagine one being born to heroin. Now, this is something where it should really be addressed. People should be outraged by this and trying to fix it, like concerned citizens and stuff like that, you know. I have a sister, youngest in the family. She's had cancer for the past 5 years. Don't know if she's going to make it to her 40th birthday. That is serious issues. When I look at these turbines, I don't see a problem. It just, you either love it or you hate it, you know? When this all came about, we went and we toured other farms and we educated ourselves. And the kids, they had a blast. They thought it was Jack and the Beanstalk. So when you look at something like that, you know, it's development. Up north with the oil, there was people that got forced out of their apartments because they could not afford rent. Where was anybody there? Grandparents that lived there their whole life were paying $300. Well, they can't pay $2,000 a month, but they got kicked aside and move in, and this guy's going to pay $2,000. Was that fair? I don't think so. Where was someone to watch out for them? You know, a few other points were made, like farming issues with it. I'm on the family farm, fourth generation. If I have turbines, it doesn't matter. The land is going to rent. If I decide to rent the land one day, it's going to rent. Someone's going to rent it. And if there's a turbine, if there's five turbines, it doesn't matter. Someone's going to rent it, and they're going to farm around it. It's just the way it is. And if you don't like to farm around it, don't rent it then. It's plain simple, you know? And, well, benefits. Well, absolutely. It's my land. I choose to do with it as I want. And if I'm going to benefit, well, why not? I have a family to support. I have my mother to support. If I can diversify my operation, why wouldn't I do that? I ask anybody in this room to diversify their operation, not to do it. The number one thing North Dakota has been famous for is wind. I've asked many people in the crowd here, old people, my dad's not here anymore. If this would have happened 40 years ago, you know what they would have said? Where do I sign? We watch the wind blow every day. Dirt blows. We can make energy with it. I think they would have been on board with it. And one gentleman told me today, he said, well, absolutely. Times were a lot tougher back then. And wind turbines, they talked about it. The farm I'm on, the original power was from a wind turbine in the backyard. It was on a tower, and there were batteries downstairs in the basement. And that's what powered the farm. And then when your co-op came online, well, that kind of took care of everything, which is, you know, understandable because it was, you know, steady and convenient, you know. And with this energy, yes, it's not supposed to replace coal and all that. We still need that. But we are faced with certain situations now that green energy is going to be part of the future, whether you like it or not. I don't think a guy can get away from it. And, you know, kicking this out in the boonies or something like that, I don't believe that's efficient. For an example, my wife is from Harding County. You go down there to put a wind farm, there is a farmer down there that owns, well, he's a rancher, that owns 30,000 acres. Well, he could benefit from every single one of them. Well, is that necessarily fair? I mean, well, but with certain setbacks, he could get them all, and it's not dispersing it out. Here, you know, everybody involved in the project, most of them that I know, live here, stay here, work here, and they're going to spend the money back in the local economy. There's no question about it. And another thing with the view. Well, I have a neighbor. He's a mile and a quarter away. And I asked him what he can't benefit because of the setbacks and everything. I asked him what his thoughts are. He goes, I can't tell you what to do with my land. I can't tell you what to do with yours. His wife is a teacher. He's got two kids. He's like, if you're going to benefit, go for it. And he has to look at these turbines as well. He's like, go for it. If it's going to benefit the school, which like Dustin talked on, that's a huge benefit to the New England School District. Right now, they are looking at starting their own football. They need to renovate the field. You know, they need money for that. And going back, we all know that Richardson wants a new school. So I talked to a gentleman from Richardson. He's a semi-retired mechanic at West Plains. He's 70 years old. He goes, yeah, now they want to raise my taxes 400 mil to help compensate for a new school. I said, well, that would be a good reason to move out of town. 400 mil, that's a lot. He goes, I'm 70. He goes, why should I pay for a new school? And he goes, I want to retire, and I don't think he should. But then I said, well, you know what you should do? Go back to the group that's, like for the concerned citizens, for an example, you know, they didn't want it over there in Gladstone. They kicked it out. So it came to my backyard, which I accepted the project. I figured, why not? They didn't want it. We wouldn't even be talking about this. So they didn't want it. It came out to me. I accepted it. And yeah, I'm going to fight for it because why not? It's an opportunity. Take advantage of it.
Okay. All right. If we can. Is that it pretty much? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. I think we can wrap it up. Some of us are anxious to get through. Mr. Bial, any questions for Mr. Zari?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Bell?
No.
Mr. Collin? Commissioners?
Do you have any concerns about decommissioning of when the time comes to put it back, your land back to the way it was?
No, I'm not too concerned about that. I've worked with this company here, and in my contract, we made agreements to, they're going to restore the land the way I want it restored, and that goes back to, you know, if it's my land, if it's boogered up for a while, that's my land. That's my choice. I'm sacrificing my land for this project to get developed. That's my choice. And if my land comes out of, if I lose a couple acres, that's my choice. And no, I don't feel a problem with it.
Thank you.
All right. Commissioner Fedorchik.
I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Okay. I think that's it, right? Okay. We'll close the public input section of the hearing. Now, flip it back to the attorneys. Mr. Biella, any rebuttal case you think you need to put in?
No, Your Honor. Commissioner Call.
Yeah, Your Honor, I know it's late, but we got more work to do. I want to talk about turbine locations 78 to 87.
That's right.
Mr. Rotten can speak to that?
Yes. Mr. Rotten, just a reminder, you're still under oath.
Yes, sir. So, Commissioner Calk, we've done the analysis, and we currently have six alternates in the wind farm. What we would like to do is keep three of them all the way through towards the end construction, because that gives us flexibility that if we find something during the beginnings of construction, we have the capability to activate those. But there are three turbines that we could just do away with and activate alternate turbines in their place. I would just like to say, I kind of need to say this for our landowners, our supporting landowners, is that, you know, these are turbines that meet all the siting requirements, and this is going to be revenue lost, and you heard of Iggy when he came up here and spoke. But there are three turbines that are most impactful to both of the two different families that came up and spoke. Just grab my note.
Mr. Richard and Mr. Prowse, I think.
Yes, Your Honor. So Farron Richard and Autumn, his wife, spoke. There are three turbines that are within 3/4 of a mile. Those are turbines 82, 83, and 84. And two of those turbines are the closest turbines to Pat Prowse's house, turbines 82 and 83. We've already kind of talked about turbines 83 and 84 are Iggy Weigel's turbines. So we would be willing to drop those turbines and activate alternate turbines. But in fairness to our landowners that, you know, they're going to be losing out. As you can imagine, this is the balance we constantly weigh between landowner rights and taking the concerns of the non-participating landowners with the participating landowners.
I don't want to interrupt if you have more to offer up. So tell me this, Jason. We talked really early today about how you pick your turbine location. So there's a lot of space out here. And I know you might not have, you have six alternates that you have in the scope. How much work is it to develop three more alternates? I mean, I'm guessing there's, you have a 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 alternates that you have modeled in here somewhere that you could activate.
Well, we originally had 8 alternates.
Okay.
But as we go through the environmental studies, several of them get ruled out. The most recently, on our February 19th final turbine location, we had 8 alternates. Mm-hmm. But then as we continue to do the environmental studies, in locations throughout the entire array, we had to drop 2 of those locations due to the results that we couldn't build in those particular locations. And that's why we have the alternates.
Can you encroach more on Highway 22 on both sides? You've got transmission lines right there, and you gave a mile setback so for people to drive through. Why couldn't you put a couple turbines in there?
I think we can take that into consideration. Obviously, the concern is what does that do from a permitting standpoint and from a timing standpoint and things like that and environmental studies and things.
And like I've said before, I'm one of three. We have to deliberate all this when we get back, but I'm just looking at to see what's out there, what's available. What if we don't approve the project? Then what happens?
Then we won't be able to build the project.
Okay, so then what does Basin Electric do?
What? I'm sorry?
Okay. Basin Electric has agreed to buy this power.
Yes.
You've agreed to sell it to them.
Yes.
What if we don't approve the wind farm? Then what happens?
Then
to the contract?
End of the year. Well, at the end of the year, we'll start suffering delay damages, and then ultimately we'll be in default of the contract.
Okay, so it's all or none for this delivery of 150 megawatts.
Yes, sir.
You can't deliver 142 megawatts.
No, sir. The contract's for 150 megawatts.
Okay. Is there any other things that
it's too close?
We're falling apart up here, Jace. Okay, I think that's all for now, and I think that's probably it. Let's just talk about, you're going to submit a late filed exhibit of the reduced footprint, taking out a lot of the carve-outs we talked about earlier, correct?
Yes.
And then, so on that, would that be a better map that showed the setbacks if you do remove 82, 83, 84, and where those other locations will go? Can that all be included in one map?
Yes, sir.
And then we can use that as a basis to make decisions.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Thank you, Jason.
Mr. Fedorchuk.
Very good. On that map, will you also do the circles around all the residences and
yes, ma'am.
Put as much as you can on that map as possible, identifying the participating and non-participating landowners'
yes,
homes with different colored boxes or
mm-hmm.
something
we can
like
do
that.
Yes, ma'am.
As much as you can consolidate into one, that would be helpful for that map. And then I think you already talked about a key that shows the distances just in feet or to the
yes.
All the homes.
Yes. Yes,
so,
ma'am.
Okay, that would be helpful.
And just a comment for future reference for the record, for the company and Mr. Biella. Mr. Pelham and I did it one of these hearings in Fargo yesterday in a pipeline, and it was a much smaller hearing, not nearly as many people in the room, but the company in that case had 3 big blow-ups that they had on easels in the room for the people to see when they came in. And I think on these wind farms, when we come in for these hearings, we could have that kind of, exhibit. I mean, with all the money you spend on experts and witnesses and everything else to put all this together, I think that kind of demonstrative type of exhibit, would be very helpful, not only to us, but to the public as well, so that people can see where their land is and where the turbines are that affect them. And we can all, some of us, when we get older, like me, we have a little trouble reading some of the small numbers and the small print. So that would be very helpful. Mr. Collins.
Yeah, I just had one question for the witness based on a question that Commissioner Kulk asked, if I could. You mentioned the contract with Basin Electric. Is there a force majeure clause in that contract?
There is a force majeure clause.
Okay.
Not getting a permit is not a force majeure event.
So failure to obtain governmental approval for the project is not a force majeure event?
No.
Okay, that's all the questions I have.
Mr. Pelham, anything for Mr. Etman?
No questions.
Mr. Biela, any follow-up?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, I guess Mr. Etman can step down again.
That concludes our case, Your Honor.
Okay. Anything else for the good of the order? Closing remarks, comments from the attorneys?
I would like to go over the late filed exhibits.
That's a good idea. We'll do that. I think we could do that now. Let's do that now.
I have a list, and after I'm done reading, perhaps anyone can chime in. I've misstated
go
something.
Go slowly, though, because I'm still looking for mine.
Okay. All right. I have 12.
All right. Yeah.
Basin Electric, as I understand it, is going to submit some type of late filed exhibit indicating its statement for need for the wind energy power. It was just mentioned the reduced project area, which would show the setbacks, and as just discussed, county floodplain administrator submissions and comments, avian spring survey and responses, grouse surveys and responses. That may be one, I'm not sure. Shadow flicker delineation in the column for non-participating owners. So a column showing non-participating owners as to the shadow flicker impact. Brady Wind would provide a analysis as to the red flashing light potential alternatives. A map showing, we have, I want to say it's exhibit two. Exhibit two, we had talked about a map showing 1,000 feet rather than 2,000 feet of the non-participating landowner from their property lines, 1,000 feet. This next one may be with the avian survey, but a spring 2016 raptor survey was discussed. Whether it's wrapped in with the avian survey, grouse survey all combined, I don't think much makes a difference, but a spring raptor survey and any responses. Concerned citizens agreed to provide the studies that were referenced by one of its witnesses whose name escapes me. John Wirt, yes, thank you, sir. One was Purdue University, and I think there may have been some others, but I may be mistaken. So any studies, though, that were referenced in his testimony. Then Brady Wind agreed to provide the Purdue study that it referenced in its testimony to ensure that it is, well, to see whether or not it is the same survey that Mr. Wirt was referencing. And then the last one that I have is a late file exhibit from Brady Wind as to any restrictions on using drones by industrial and around industrial wind farms.
That was
for you. Okay, I'm sorry. For concerned citizens, restrictions on using drones, any restrictions on using drones in industrial wind farms. That's the list that I have.
Does that comport with what you other guys have? That's actually better than what I had. And, you know, you can work this out tomorrow or whatever if you think of something between the attorneys and just let me know.
I'd like to get it on the record, though, because I think if we are filing late filed exhibits, it should be agreed upon at the hearing.
No, as to what, yes, but in case there is the possibility that given the hour and the amount of time we've worked today,
true.
We could miss one. Closing comments from the attorneys? Brief, hopefully. Mr. Biela?
No, Your Honor. Thank you for your courtesy for this very long day.
Mr. Pelham?
Nothing further, thank you.
Mr. Collins?
No, thank you. For the opportunity.
Thank you. Commissioners, closing remarks?
No time for a 20-minute speech, Judge. appreciate everyone's patience and courtesy back and forth today. I just had my earlier comments about the Cooperstown Wind Farm, how it got out of control. You guys all did good today, said your piece, and it didn't get too personal, and we've got tough decisions to make. The process now, the record is closed today, the late file exhibits will come in. We'll schedule a work session probably next week. We've got a commission meeting Tuesday, so we'll schedule a work session that works for the three of us probably within a couple weeks. Usually what happens is all the late filed exhibits come in, we have the first work session, and that's the first time the three of us are really talk about it, because every time we get together is a meeting. So the three of us will get together, and that's when you'll really get a feel. It's a public meeting. You'll get a feel with where we're all at on this decision. And then from the work session, we'll either have more work sessions or we'll put together an order. But I would say that within about 6 weeks to 8 weeks, you'll have a pretty good feel for where the commission is at on this order. So that's kind of people always ask the time frame. So that's usually what ends up happening. If something happens to where the company or the interveners cannot get the late filed exhibits in, then we just stay in a hold pattern. So it's really on these groups to get their late filed exhibits in, because we won't typically have a work session until we have all the paperwork in. So that's kind of the process laying forward. And then in the end, that we are a court, so our decisions can be appealed like anything else. But we just really appreciate your time, and we'll do our best to make a good decision.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
Thank you all so much for sticking around 15 hours. I think we had two records today, one for the longest hearing and one for the shortest hearing. But I did note that when I went to the bathroom last, it's all out of toilet paper, so I think it's time for everyone to go home.
The men's room was getting close also.
No, but seriously, I'm honored to be part of this kind of a process where everyone gets to say their piece and is respectful of each other's positions. And you can be assured that we will do our very best to make the very best decision and take all of your input into consideration. So thank you very much.
And council proposed findings, can we set a date for that? April 15th, April 22nd, something like that? All right. April 15th then, that gives you a couple weeks. You can get it in early if you can work it out.
Your Honor, you had a previous hearing that mentioned the possibility of
a. Yes, and if you'd like to do that, I'd suggest that you get that in by April 15th. Okay. All right.
Do we want to do just so we don't run into it later, and we may as well handle it, but if someone does submit a post-hearing brief, someone's going to want to respond. So if we're going to do that, we should set some deadlines,
right?
I think.
Closing briefs by the 15th, no more than 15 pages, double spaced. And replies by the 22nd, no more than 10 pages. And
22nd,
a week later. That being said, we do get the late filed exhibits in as expeditiously as possible, hopefully before the briefs are due. And I just want to, from my perspective as the judge trying to keep this orderly and keep it moving, this has been, as far as it could be, a state record for all I know. We got to be close. We only have less than an hour left in the day. But I want to thank everybody. I know that there's strong feelings about this. This is the kind of thing where I think a lot of people believe in this kind of energy, but then when it's going to be right next door, they don't like it so much. And so I think that this is something that, you know, the commission has to balance. It's a very, very touchy and emotional issue for people. And I have to say that really everyone here today has handled themselves with such civility and such respect that it makes me feel good to live in North Dakota, because I don't think there's a lot of places where we could have had a 15-hour hearing like this and pull it off as smoothly as we did. So thank you all very much. And I'm going to close the hearing now on case number PU-15-690, subject to the filing of late filed exhibits. Thanks again.